Trying to do here. Well, we are again in the advent of Christmas, and so we're excited. We get excited every year about this time, about being able to tell a story over and over and over again, amen? And it doesn't change. It doesn't change. I told you last week how I get challenged every year about this time about how you're going to present it so that it won't get stale. Amen. And I know people say, well, it should never get stale, but you know, I'm a realist, you know, and sometimes you can get into a place where you hear the same thing over and over again, you get complacent, you don't even listen. Amen. And we want you to know that this word is relevant. One thing we can't do, we can't make the Bible relevant. It's already relevant. Amen. Yeah. The word of God is always relevant. But we want to make it kind of exciting, interesting again, that because you know what this message actually says, that you just don't tune out. That you want to look at it afresh. New. It's like every time you come to the Bible, we ought to have a practice where even though we're reading the same scriptures over and over again, we ought to come to it with a fresh set of eyes, you know, and see what the Lord is going to reveal or unveil to us again through His Word. And so last week, we started out by talking about why. Remember that? Mm-hmm. It says, why Christmas? I mean, what is this thing all about? And so we went back to the beginning. To find out why we needed Christmas. And we talked about, we kind of camped in chapter 3 of Genesis. And but we really want to talk about the first 3 chapters, but you know, we're always in the time constraints, and we really can't go through all 3 chapters. But I hope you got the gist of what we were saying, is that in the beginning, and the reason why we need Christmas now, and we needed it then, it was because God created. I'm talking about what was created. God created what? The heavens and the earth. And He said that out of all the things He did, He said they were what? They were very good. Very good. And let me give you a little insight as to why they were very good. It's because they were all made the way He wanted them to be made. And it was just nice. And the thing that He really loved was the last thing He created. Y'all know that? Yeah. It was the last thing. That's what he looked. He said, oh, that's very good. Why? Because He said He made man what? In His own image. Amen? And then the ability to what? To relate. You know? And it was, God enjoyed it so much, He said He could walk around with Him in what? In the cool of the night. Amen? Tosh, you like that? Wouldn't be too hot. In the cool of the night, amen. Just hanging out with God in the garden. I'm trying to get you to, could you just imagine? I mean, just think about the life you've already lived, life the other day. Just think about what it would really be like if you just be able to hang out with God all day long. And He supplies you with every need. And all He wanted to do was just have a fellowship and a relationship with you. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, hang in there. Amen. Is He going to recreate that again? Amen. Yeah, He is. You know why? Because of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Yeah, He's going to recreate all that again. And one day we're going to be hanging out with God all day long. Obviously, we won't even need the sun. Amen. Because of His glory. Man, that's going to be a great time, isn't it? It's going to be a great time. And so He said everything He made was very, very good. But you know, there was the creation, but then there was a crisis. Right? There was a crisis. See, the creation was life with God. Right? The crisis is we wanted to be like God. Amen? That was the crisis. And so what? And so they sin and fall what? Short of the glory of God. And that was the crisis. The crisis was the sin. And because of that, Because God had made a decree, right? God had given them a command. And he said that what? If you disobey me, you shall what? Surely there's going to be a what? A separation. So there was a consequence because of the crisis of the sin. The consequence was there was a what? A separation. So we went from life with God to wanting to be like God to life without God. Amen. Because number one, he told them what? He said, get your clothes on and get about this garden. Amen. And he pushed them out of the garden. And then he put that big cherubim up there, right? With that sword. Said, you come up here, you want to. Huh? And so they left, right? Went out there. And they began to try to figure out what was going on. But in that whole process, the creation was beautiful, the crisis came, the consequence was the separation, but God had a cure. Then God had a cure right there in chapter 3. And the cure was, he says that in verse 15 of chapter 3, he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And so he said that he was going to what? He was going to have a cure, and that cure was going to be a seed. Amen? And that seed was going to be not just life with God. It's going to be life in God. Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen? Never to be separated again. So that's why we had to have Christmas. But aren't you curious as to how that's going to come about? Huh? Think about it. Now, we know why, but how is that going to happen when you have now falling creation, right? Trying to develop a relationship again with an infinite, perfect, holy God. How does that happen? Because see, in our mindset, and this is our mindset that is already tainted with sin, as good as it can get, amen? Yeah. It's still tainted with sin. But in our mindset, I don't know about you, but I think about it this way. Is that if somebody messed up, they ought to be the one to what? Fix it. Right? If you messed it up, you, matter of fact, we taught our kids coming up, when they get something, now fix it. Right? Now we want, no, it's you made that mess, you clean it up. Right? But see, that was an impossibility with us. We couldn't clean it up. We couldn't clean it up. So we needed someone to do what? To rescue us. Amen? So it was a rescue mission going on. And here's the thing. The one who didn't mess it up decided to fix it. Amen? There was a group of guys, and they used to sing a song that said, fix it, Jesus. You remember that? I think Arnold can sing that, right? Fix it. Yeah, I see he can sing that. Fix it, Jesus. Because we had no way of being able to fix what we messed up. Amen. And that's why I went to the book of Matthew. In the book of Matthew, and here's the thing, is that in the book of Matthew, we have what is called in the beginning a genealogy. And that's why I read that. And I know this for a fact. That most of us, when we get into reading the Bible and we get to Matthew chapter 1, we skip over, come on now, the first 17 verses. Just jump right over it. We say, we don't know what these names mean. We don't know who these people are. We just want to know about Jesus. But in that genealogy is a great message. Amen. It's a fantastic message in there. and all those hard names. And I took a long time, because what you do now, see, we got technology. And so I went to my little phone and I just listened to those names over and over again yesterday. Okay, Hezekiah, or Jeconiah, you know, and I'm just going through them. So I got that Achim, you know, and then it was funny though, because if you listen to two different ones, sometimes they pronounce them differently. Amen. And so I just decided to pronounce it the way I want to. I said, if they can't get it right, come on now. But in each one of those names, there's meaning behind it. And as you take them, and if you go back into the Old Testament, you line them up with the stories, what you will see in that is the sovereignty of God. Amen. People want to know, well, see, we know why we need Christmas, but how are we going to have Christmas? Well, the only way we could ever have Christmas, it had to come through the sovereignty of God. Amen. And that's what those names actually represent. The sovereignty of God. Why? Because what you have to understand is, from the time that God made that pronouncement back in Genesis 3, a whole lot of time went by. I'm talking about a whole lot of time. I tried to do some research on that yesterday. Brother Eric can help me out with this, man, because I kept seeing somebody say 4,000 years, and then people say it's more than 4,000 years. And so I figured I just did the 42 generations. Yeah. Amen? But it's more than 42 generations, depending on you look at the generations. I'm telling you, it was boggling my mind, but the more I studied and the more I saw, is I saw the sovereignty of God. I saw that how he took this entire time frame, whether it's 4,000, whether it's 6,000, whether it's 42 generations, whether it's more than that, you know? Because he talked about, they say 14, 14, and 14. That's where we get 42 generations from, amen? But there, it depends on how you divide the generations up. Because right now, we're taking generation like sometimes every 12 years, every 20 years, we're looking at a generation, right? You see how things change? So in those days, we don't know how long generations were. But we do know that they broke it down so that we can understand that it was a long time. Amen. And what I want you to understand is that's why I read those names to you. And look at verse 17. It says, so all the generations of Abraham and David were 14 generations. And from David to the deportation of Babylon were 14 generations. And from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, amen, were 14 generations. And now the birth of Jesus took place in this way. You see that? That's showing you what? How? That's what I want you to understand. See, you don't have to make this stuff up. The Bible gives you the answer. We saw the why, and now we see the how. It starts off in verse 18 by saying, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. That's a what? That's how. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child. How? By the Holy Spirit. See? And her husband, Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her away in shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife. For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All the way back in the book of Genesis, this was predicted. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. I'll stop there. That's how. Amen. How? is Christmas going to come about? A virgin is going to conceive and bear a son, and they're going to call his name Emmanuel. What was the problem, the crisis, the consequence of all that brought about Christmas? It was that what? They sinned and they were separated from God. And so now, through this historical account, through this magnificent miracle, God is going to show us how we can reconcile, amen, this consequence that we all suffered because of sin. And how is he going to do it? By coming to rescue us. It's all about God. This is what I want us to understand these next, well, last week, this week, and this week, is that Christmas is all about God. Amen. Amen. It's all about God. Well, in fact, you can say that about every day. Amen. Amen. But specifically Christmas, and we talk about Christmas, but every day ought to be about God. Every day is supposed to be about God. But let's have, let me, I was looking through this and I found 3 points again, so I think I'm gonna give them to you. I just found 3 up in here. And the first one I already gave is sovereignty. But I wanted to explain why I say the sovereignty of God. Now people say the sovereignty of God, they say, well, because of the miraculous birth and all that. That's true. I want you to look at it even from a practical standpoint. I gave you this long genealogy, I gave you this long time frame, and I want you to understand one thing. In all of that time frame that God had pronounced and predicted that what? The seed of the woman would come and crush the head of Satan. We'll get into all of that next week when I talk about the final part of it. And all of a sudden, all these years got to go by. How many of you all know, just by living the short life you already lived, that things are prone to go wrong? Huh? Things are wrong in your life and my and everybody. Things, and so the longer you live, the longer chance you have to mess something up. Amen. And we're talking about 4,000, we're talking about a whole lot of years of some folk that got a chance to mess some stuff up. Especially when you got an enemy who already showed you in the garden that he ain't about God. That he want to mess up from day one. And guess what? He's running to and fro throughout the earth. He's just going all of these different places and he's trying to trip folk up. Especially those who try to do something for God. They say they love God. Amen. You say, what that song, Keon?
I love God.
No, you say, do you love God? Yeah, why don't you? I heard that song, that was funny. But you say you love God. I can't say like the girl said on the record, but she cracks me up. But when you say you love God, Satan and his imps know that. Mm-hmm. And they come around trying to trip you up.
Yeah.
And you got so many, every day you wake up, you got a chance to fail. Amen. And you talk about 4,000 years of all these different people who had people. Because it's not just all of them. Because if you go to the book of Luke, he even finishes to give you some more names. Amen. Who all hooked up into this thing. And we prone, just ask David when you get there and you see him. We prone to do some stuff we shouldn't be doing. Huh? We prone to be in places we're not supposed to be in. Had David been where he was supposed to be, he wouldn't. Somebody know what I'm talking about. And these are folk that's being used by God. But through that whole process, God was able to accomplish that which he said he would do. Amen. What do you mean by that? That means that God has a plan, right? And he has a way of protecting his plan. And he will give you the provision to do what he needs you to do that you might carry out his plan. Amen. And that's what I saw as I kept reading those words. I would go back and I would see how Judah messed up. Y'all know Judah really messed up. Judah wasn't right. That wasn't right. I mean, his name there and the serpent came through him. Amen. But he wasn't right. You got to go back and read Genesis again, and you see Judah was human. And Judah, I tell you what, now Judah was all man. Because he let his urges, come on now, somebody know what I'm talking about. I'm keeping this PG, but he let his urges get away from him. Yeah, he did. And he wasn't truthful. He was going to be deceitful. Come on, and he did, but God still used him to accomplish what he said he would do. That ought to give somebody some hope up in here. Amen. Amen. That God is sovereign and you are now in his plan. Amen. And he will protect you even when you mess up.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And provide those provisions for you that you might accomplish that which he wants you to do. And that's what happened here in this beautiful love story here about Mary. Amen. See, because Mary, you go to the genealogy, but Mary is in the genealogy. Now, let me tell y'all a little secret. Y'all don't get mad at me because I know some people don't know, like people say this, but Mary wasn't special. No, she was just Mary. Amen. Just like Gloria. Amen. Hey, you ain't special. Well, God has used you. Amen. Amen. See, we got to get to the point where I'm saying none of us special. It's all about God. Amen. It's all about God. But he chose her to be the mother of the seed. Amen. Now, I will tell you this much, is that she might not have been special, but she did meet the qualification. Huh? See? I just want y'all to notice that every now and then, because God looking for you, make sure you meet the qualifications that he wants in the process that he wants to use you in. Which means you got to kind of look, come on now, you got to look at, be circumspect in your life. You got to walk careful. Because God wants to use you, but there were certain qualifications. He couldn't just use any female. And she met that qualification. Because see, the prophet went out that behold a virgin shall conceive, so she had to do something right. Huh? And I know for a fact that Joseph was all man. Like I know they say he was righteous. But Joseph all man. Come on now. But he kept himself. The Bible says he kept, in the Bible that he kept himself away from her. That's why he knew the child wasn't his. I read everything in there. I pull out, I say, oh man, Joseph, you bad boy. I just, come on, Joseph. See, he wasn't like some of us. Come on now. My wife will tell y'all some stories about me. Come on, she will. But she can't tell you too much, and then she put herself on spotlight. Help me somebody! Come on now. I like to be real. And Joseph and Mary, they were like, okay, well, we got up, you know, and all of a sudden, and Joseph said, I can't even deal with this. Well, what are you trying to say? Is that in the selection process, he's sovereign and he selects. But in the selection process, he selects people. But with those people, they're going to have problems. Amen? There's going to be problems in that situation. And when you respond appropriately, God will help you that you might fulfill his purpose. Amen? Don't think it's going to happen all because, oh, I'm in the Lord now. God will take care of me. Yeah, but you're still going to have problems. Joseph had some problems. Mary had some problems. And Mary said, Lord, how am I going to explain this to Joseph? Read the story. She said, Lord, how would this be? No, but how am I going to tell this man who ain't never been with me that this is okay?
Come on, ain't a brother in this house that said, okay, I understand. Look, Mary, I'm going to take you on. No, you didn't have a serious dream. Amen. And the angel got to show up and wake you up because you don't want to be a dream. Look, I'm real. This is me. Amen. Because if it's in a dream, I just made that up. Mary still would have been short. Jesus, wake me up. Let me know. I'm just being real because they're a problem. But if you respond appropriately, God will help you to fulfill his purpose in your life. Amen. And that's what we saw in the story there. You got, so that's what I said, I want you to read the Bible for all its worth. Don't just read it like, you know, no, this is a real life story. I want you to put yourself there and say, what would I have done? Come on now. And that's why he said that because of the fact that he was a righteous man. Amen. He said, I want to put her away secretly. See, even when he had been dissed, amen, he didn't want to mess it up for her. Because y'all know that she would have been what? Stoned to death. Amen. And so, but he really loved her. And he said, no, I don't want to. I'm going to put her on and let her do her thing. And but I ain't married her. I tell you that much. No, uh-uh. And when the Pharisees come with a child support, that ain't me. Amen. Billie Jean is not my love. Amen. Come on now. The child is not my. Come on, somebody know what I'm talking about. That's a biblical marriage name, Billie Jean. Oh, now, and they saw, and he saw that, but he came, and the Lord gave him, and the Holy Spirit came to him, and he said, I'll do it. Because he responded appropriately to the word of God that was given to him in a dream. Then when you read Hebrews, it says, we don't get those anymore. Our word of God is right here. And we have to respond appropriately to what we know the scriptures tell us. In the midst of our problems, we don't go to Dear Abby or wherever else out there. We go to the word of God. Amen. And we pray on those things. And even when we've been done wrong, the Bible says we don't respond that way. We respond appropriately. Why? Because God still has a purpose in our life and he wants to use us even in the midst of our problems. Amen. And so it's the sovereignty of God. You see how he does the protection through his plans. He provides his provisions. He selects people. Amen. Regular people that are going to have problems, but his purpose can still be fulfilled in the midst of the problem. When we respond appropriately. The last thing I saw there is that God has an awesome solution. Amen. Through his sovereignty, he protected them. He kept all of them. Through his selection, he chose them. But his solution was always himself. Amen. His solution was always himself. And I got that all the way back when I was back in Genesis again. I was reading Genesis, and I remember when he began in Abraham, Abraham. Y'all turn to the book of Abraham, the 12th chapter. and Abraham, the book of Genesis, and the 12th chapter, when he made this promise to Abraham, and then when he wanted to what? He wanted to codify it by doing what? By putting a covenant in that thing, he put Abraham to sleep. Y'all know that story? And what? So he fulfilled the covenant in himself because he understood the fallibility of humanity. Amen? And that we're not able to do what needs to be done. Amen. But through his mercy and his grace, amen, he still uses us and he prepares us. Amen? And then so his solution was in himself. And that's why the Holy Spirit was the one who, what about the child? And he says that basically he was going to allow Jesus Christ, and that's why he's going to name Emmanuel, he's going to name him Jesus. And Jesus was going to come on this earth, amen, through the virgin, lived 33 and a half years, lived a sinless life, amen, give his life on a cross for us, but get up on that third day showing that, guess what? The plan was perfect, and it worked,
And that way, we would have a way to get back to God. And that's why he said, Emmanuel, God with us. Perfect solution to a what? To a messed up life. Amen? Because we messed it up and God fixed it. And he started it at Christmas. Got it? He allowed Christ to be born through a virgin to live a sinless life that he might give it one day just for you and just for me. And that's exactly the way he planned it. And here's what'll blow your mind. The Bible says that God planned it before the foundation of the world. Yeah, before I messed up, he had already fixed it. Amen. He had already fixed it. So before, he said, I know clay coming, and he gonna mess some stuff up. So before I was a twinkling in my mama and my daddy's eye, God had already gave me a way to fix what I messed up. And it was by believing in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and giving my life for his. An unfair exchange. Yes, you should always look at it that way. It's an unfair exchange. For what we get and what we give, come on now. Unfair exchange. But we serve a God who loves us that much. Mm-hmm. That from day one, he had your name. And he said, I'm going to take care of her. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you. That's all you got to do is believe. He said, if you got a problem with it, I'm going to give you the faith to believe. That way I can't take no credit for absolutely nothing. And he's so good that he goes beyond that. The Bible says that he begins to bless you. And he does things that you just can't even imagine. Somewhere, I think it was somewhere, is it in Ephesians? He said that he does exceedingly. Y'all know that? Above that we could what? Ask or even
think.
Isn't that amazing? And he supplies my every need.
Yeah.
According to, I love a Bible believer church. Go ahead, just quote them scriptures out there. That's what I'm talking about. That's the God we serve, and he loves you that much that he will prepare a place for you. He said that what? Where I am, you will be also. Come on now. That's about Christmas. All that's about what he has done, what he's actually doing, and what he is going to do. Just for you. I love him. I love him. I love him. I love him. That's all too. Come on now. I love him. Hey, I love him. Yeah. I love him. Because he first loved me. And how do I know? Because of Christmas. God, we thank you for this word. Mm-hmm. That you have given us that we might know you. Thank you, Father, for all that you do and for who you are. Continue to be glorified. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for Easter. Thank you that you're coming back for this church without a spot or a wrinkle. Be glorified, O Lord, in the heavens and on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God some praise. The honor is all yours.